from Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Tel Aviv.
We will not stop working until we get every hostage back home with their families and loved ones.
Israel is expected to release 30 Palestinian prisoners as part of the deal. This is the seventh day of a temporary ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. National Security Spokesman Admiral John Kirby says negotiations for another extension are ongoing.
We're going to continue our efforts with Israel, with Qatar, obviously with Egypt, to support and extend this pause as much as we can and to help secure the release of all the hostages.
UNICEF's Ricardo Pires is among those hoping for an extension.
The needs were already immense in Gaza before the October 7th, and now this number has just increased significantly. So we hope that we can hold this ceasefire and more supplies can get in for so many children in need.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Peter King.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The latest national climate assessment warns extreme drought will become more common in the Mississippi River Basin, and so will isolated heavy rains and flooding. Temperatures in the contiguous United States have risen by 2.5 degrees since 1970. The good news is experts say it's not too late to slow the effects. Donald Trump may have the steeper path to victory than President Biden if he's the Republican nominee next year. Pollster Charles Franklin says Trump's support appears to be wider than it is deep.
When we look at likely voters, Biden does a bit better. When we look at the less than likely voters, Trump does better with them.
Franklin spoke at a forum at Marquette University yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wood County unit of the Wisconsin Towns Association will hold their regular meeting at the Town of Richfield Town Hall in Marshfield on Friday, December 1st. A meal will be served at 6:30, followed by the meeting at 7 p.m. Remember, there's no school on December 1st for students in the Wisconsin Rapids School District. It's a professional development and record-keeping day for staff. The Port Edwards School District is holding their middle and high school band concert tonight. It's at 6:30 at the Dorothy Alexander Auditorium. Nakusa Hometown Christmas is December 2nd, starting at 9 a.m. at the Nakusa Community Center. They'll have over 30 vendors with crafts, arts, and more, open 9 to 3 at 416 Crestview Lane. The Wisconsin Rapids Community Choir is performing their holiday concert on Saturday, December 2nd at 4 p.m. The concert's titled Celebrate the Season, performed at First Congregational Church. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Tournament time in Madison. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NCAA Women's Volleyball Tournament getting underway tonight at the UW Fieldhouse. The Badgers, with a record of 26-3, take on Jackson State. It's been an exciting journey, says head coach Kelly Sheffield.
You know, our wins against Nebraska or Iowa, we can talk about the draw. We're certainly excited about the draw and being able to host here opening weekend. Talk about Jackson State, we can go a lot of different directions. So just a great time of year.
Baseball, Devin Williams named the National League's best relief pitcher of the year. The Brewers closer had 36 saves in 61 games this season. NFL, the Packers host the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football.
You know, there's not many quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes out there, and you combine him with guys like Travis Kelce. That's one of the best combinations in all of the National Football League.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 19 tonight, under partly cloudy skies, north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies tomorrow, 33. About an inch of snow Saturday night through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it! The moon!
Hey everybody, you're listening to James help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Moon.
Are you surprised to learn there's an international business on Main Street in Nakusa? Jacoby Custom Cues calls billiards one of the most popular recreational activities. It should know more than 3,000 cues are produced there every year. Jacoby started with 2 employees in 83 and now has more than 2 dozen. For locally grown radio WFHR, I'm Terry Barr.
Welcome everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy to say that I've got Anya in the booth with me, and we are going to be joined this hour by two of Civic Media's own, the hosts of Raised in Wisco, none other than Joel Clefish and Danielle Friedman. So excited to be doing that. Then I'm going to hang around for a little bit with them after my show's over. But in all seriousness, got to just jump right into some things here. First of all, I watch a little bit of TV now and again. Have y'all seen this commercial for kids' toys? They're Hess trucks. These things sell for like $50 a piece. And these Hess trucks, it's like all police vehicles, okay? That's what it is. And the current ad that's running, it's like you buy the truck thing and you get... this is from their website now, the quote, heavy duty dual axle police truck is a geared up green colored tactical support enhanced vehicle. So it's like a tactical police vehicle. Why am I talking about this? Oh, by the way, there are 55 different red and blue light features, and they've got all kinds of sirens, and oh, there's a slide-out battering ram. Why am I talking about this? It had kind of lodged in my brain because there's been a lot of sort of media and Hollywood entertainment descriptions and depictions of law enforcement over many years. A lot of folks refer to it as the law and order effect, whereby we think everybody is Olivia Benson. Right, like fighting for the victims, you know, very always following the letter of the Constitution, consulting with the attractive, always female assistant district attorneys. And it glamorized and it gave us almost what I would argue is a really idealized version of the police. These were, you know, it's Lenny Briscoe, baby's dad from Dirty Dancing, like that guy you trust, right? Dennis Farina, guy who always plays a gangster or a cop, was in this old show, Crime Story. These were people that, even where they had personal flaws, these people fought for us. Fight for regular people. And it made us all feel really good about the police and district attorneys and law enforcement agencies. And I think that's all fine. Now, there's actually a bit of a dirty underside to that. I'm not going to get into that now because I've got other things I want to talk about today, including the recently introduced GOP Assembly Bill 641. But, and if you want to know about Dick Wolf's political proclivities, there's Google. Very interesting backstory on Law and Order. But my point here is, I grew up, because of my whiteness, the privilege I had, you know, never having ever conceived that I could ever have a negative interaction with the police. Inherent trust, without question, unquestioning inherent trust, faith, if you will, near religion style faith in law enforcement agencies and police. Obviously, as I have matured and grown up and had some different sorts of experiences, my view has become more nuanced and complicated. And just like any group of people with an extraordinary amount of power, you don't take it on faith. You got to ask for accountability. You got to seek greater transparency, all those things. And I've been humbled and opened my mind to the fact that the whiteness of my skin gives me a privilege, a freedom, a comfort with which I move through the world that not everybody else enjoys. Especially Black folks. So I just, you know, we glamorize law enforcement in many ways. These trucks, this tactical vehicle with a battering ram and 55 different lights and all kinds of different sirens is a children's toy that we will give for Christmas. It's a military vehicle, folks. It's like a Humvee, basically, with a battering ram. This is a child's toy. This is the police. It's fine if the police are just like the military. That's the message. Law and order. You can always trust the police. There's no problem there. Religious-like reverence and faith extended nearly without question for decades and decades and decades. And then cell phone videos and body cameras. We're having different conversations now. This was not what I was going to talk about today, by the way, but as I was sitting waiting for my show to start, an article popped up on my phone. This is a New York Times investigative report. The title of the article is "How a Goon Squad of Deputies Got Away with Years of Brutality." And I started reading it and I thought, nope, this is what we're going to talk about. So here goes. This is reporting by Brian Howie and Nate Rosenfield. Just published minutes ago by the New York Times. For nearly two decades, a loose band of sheriff's deputies roamed impoverished neighborhoods across a central Mississippi county, meeting out their own version of justice. Narcotics detectives and patrol officers, some whom called themselves the Goon Squad, barged into homes in the middle of the night, accusing people inside of dealing drugs. Then they handcuffed them or held them at gunpoint and tortured them into confessing or providing information, according to dozens of people who say they witnessed the assaults. Witnesses described violence that sometimes went on for hours and seemed intended to strike terror into the deputies' targets. In the pursuit of drug arrests, deputies of the Rankin County Sheriff's Department shocked Robert Jones with a taser in 2018 while he lay submerged in a flooded ditch, then rammed a stick down his throat until he vomited blood. During a raid the same year, deputies choked Michael Hobson with a lamp cord and waterboarded him to simulate drowning, then beat him until the walls were spattered with his blood. That raid took place at the home of Rick Loveday, a sheriff's deputy in a neighboring county, who said he was dragged half naked from his bed. This is a sheriff's deputy that this happened to, who said he was dragged half naked from his bed at gunpoint before deputies jabbed a flashlight threateningly at his buttocks and then pummeled him relentlessly. The string of violence might have continued unchecked if not for one near fatal raid in January, according to a Justice Department investigation. Deputies broke into the home of two Black men, Michael Jenkins and Eddie Parker, shocked them with tasers and threatened to rape them. Deputy Hunter Elward then shoved the barrel of a gun into Mr. Jenkins' mouth, not realizing that a bullet was in the chamber, and pulled the trigger. Mr. Jenkins was grievously injured. The was thrust into the national spotlight. And in August, five deputies and a police officer pleaded guilty to criminal charges. The article goes on. And it quotes the sheriff of Rankin County claiming, I didn't know any of this was going on. I'm disgusted and shocked by all of this criminal activity. And that's where the investigative journalism part kicks in, because they went through hundreds of court records. And it is simply a lie that the sheriff of this county didn't have some idea that something so egregious, so extreme, such an extraordinary violation of civil rights and constitutional rights had been going on for a long time in Rankin County, because lawsuits repeatedly alleged it and had witness accounts substantiating those. So I ask you, why is it presumptively okay to glorify any sector of government, any group of people with this kind of power? Especially when for so many decades we reflexively on faith in a near religious sort of reverence simply trusted. But now we have information that draws that faith, that reverence, that unequivocal, unquestioning, unblinking trust into question, stories like these. This is extreme, I grant you. But it was persistent, it was known, and it was participated in by over 20 different officers over years. That kind of betrayal, it's beyond betrayal of trust. It's inhuman. It's torture. It's human rights abuses at the most grotesque level. And just so that we all don't, oh, well, that doesn't, those things don't happen here. I've been from Milwaukee, born and raised here, lived here a very long time. Yes, do you remember the body cavity search cases? Because I do. Drug interdiction, violent crime interdicting cops that were in a particular unit. And most police departments have these high intensity drug trafficking. They got all these cool names for these special units. These guys strip searched and did cavity searches of grown men, not yet guilty of a crime, in public on the street. That happened at MPD within the last 10 years. So I just, maybe let's not give out the militarized police vehicles as Christmas presents to toddlers. I don't know, just a thought. Maybe we don't take shows like Law and Order as biblical truth. Just a thought. Maybe we actually engage in having a nuanced, complicated, difficult decision, because I know a whole number of cops personally, and they are friends of mine, and they do incredible work every day, and I will be forever grateful for their service. But the ones that act like the goon squad, because they exist, we got to be able to talk about. When I come back, I'm going to tell you about Assembly Bill 641. You're not going to believe it, because I certainly didn't. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hands up, hands high. Dunga screaming if I blow you with a bang. Ah, suki suki, I'm coming in the Cherokee gasoline. There's steam on the window screen, take it. Wheels bouncing like a trampoline. When I get to where I'm going, gonna have you trembling. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Every livestock farmer knows they can't control the weather. Recent growing seasons have shown rain can be hard to come by at times. Now you can add protection with a pasture rangeland forage policy through Ag Country Farm Credit Services. PRF policies help protect you against future yield losses caused by a lack of rain. Better yet, they're customizable and can cover hay and pasture acres. To learn about a PRF policy, contact your local Egg Country office today.
Normally, when we do a commercial, we talk about all of the options a Cleary building has. We talk about storing your toys or using it for a workshop, but that's not what I'm going to talk about today. I'd like to salute our remarkable team for giving the customer service you deserve. From our engineers to the folks pounding nails, we are proud of each and every one of them, and we think you will be too. So instead of talking about plenty of space for your vehicles, I hope you will give the best in the business a chance. Cleary Building Corp. Since 1978.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Go get that app. It's free. But if you don't want the app and you're sitting at home right now, you can also listen to me on your Alexa devices. You just need to talk at the thing. And by the way, if you don't know this about your Alexa device, you can go on the Alexa app and you can change the voice to a man's voice and you can rename the thing Ziggy, which I have done because I get to boss a guy around at home. It's fun. You can listen to me on Alexa, tell all your friends. You can call me up on Spotify. You can catch the old episodes there too. Lots of ways to access the Maggie Dawn Show. Donald Trump claimed yesterday, and I'm going to get to Assembly Bill 641 in a second, but this is just too rich. Donald Trump claimed yesterday that BLM is now pro-Trump, Black Lives Matter, pro-Trump, because this guy, Mark Fisher, who claims to be the co-founder of BLM Rhode Island, went on Fox and said he loves Trump. I love the man. How could you not like a real man? Mr. Fisher said. How could you not relate to someone like that? And he basically said, you know, Black people need to, this is his words, not mine, Black people need to start pivoting off the Democratic plantation. We've been slaves to that party. Actually, we've been mental slaves, afraid to get off that plantation. And so then Donald Trump went on about this. Of course, this guy is not an actual leader of the Black Lives Matter movement, never was. He just set up a S-Corp in Rhode Island that says BLM, RI, Inc. BLM had to denounce him. His organization is illegitimate and not in any way connected to the righteous BLM community fighting to protect and save Black lives. Continuing to call Mark Fisher a Black Lives Matter leader is disingenuous and inappropriate. And in case anybody has forgotten, here's what Donald Trump has actually said about BLM. It's a symbol of hate. They're spreading violence in our cities and they are supporters of an organization called Black Lives Matter, or BLM. It's hurting the Black community. And he asked the Biden administration in June 2022, I didn't know this, Donald Trump, not president, asked the Biden administration to have the federal government step in to basically dismantle BLM because they are turning our communities into war zones. BLM and Antifa burn down cities, kill people and nothing happens to them. I actually thought Kyle Rittenhouse killed somebody and nothing happened to him, but maybe those are alternative facts. Now BLM's pro-Trump. I mean, who knew? Who knew? Okay, Assembly Bill 641. I just, the news is, it's just a never-ending cycle of I can't believe what I'm reading. But, you know, GOP Republicans in our state assembly, very, very concerned about these books that young people are reading. Goodness. Because apparently they don't know that kids now all have phones. There's the internet and there's internet porn. But let's worry about the books, the words. The words are the problem, not the interwebs. That's fine. So they introduced Assembly Bill 641. And here's what it does. It requires public libraries within 24 hours of anything being checked out by a child aged 15 or younger, it requires libraries within 24 hours to report a list of the items checked out by anyone aged 15 or under to their parents. Say what? I'm sorry. When did Margaret Atwood's writing become like, there's some great scourge or like troublesome trajectory of youth now that they're reading Handmaid's Tale? Like, what exactly is it, people, about the words? So here's what I've got in my head, because we know this is going to happen if this gets passed. And thank God there's Governor Evers and he would veto this nonsense. You'd have some kid who maybe isn't certain about their gender or their sexual preference, or is just curious, check out something that's been vetted by professional educational specialists and librarians and is in a public library. It's not pornography. Checks out a book, has very fundamentalist parents. Parents get the thing and the get the report and the kid gets the crap beaten out of him. That's going to happen. That would happen. I mean, can anybody listening actually make an argument to me that at some point in your life, you didn't go to a book to answer some kind of question that you were too embarrassed to ask a human being? Truly. Because if you never did that, or you never Googled something that you weren't too embarrassed to, because that's what a library is. It's the written down version of that. You can't trust librarians and can't, we got a police report out. By the way, the idea of libraries keeping lists of things that people check out is just generally really, really uncomfortable. But no, this is what we need to spend our time doing. Current law, just by way of reference, parents can actually go and request that a library will do this, and the law permits them to do that. Otherwise, the material lists that you check out cannot be disclosed. And what begs question here, and it's not in this bill, is, well, what happens if the librarians don't do this exactly? Like, what's the enforcement mechanism? Because don't you just catch a whiff? We may be a wee bit downwind of the criminal penalties for the librarians that don't do that, because that would be the next extension. It's thought policing. Doesn't a 15-year-old, a 14-year-old, don't kids have a right to their thoughts to a certain extent? To curiosity, to the ability to check out a book about a subject matter that they're too embarrassed to ask another person about. I don't know. I just don't get it. I just do not get it. But you're gonna want to keep it locked in. I'm gonna spend a few minutes talking about Liz Cheney's memoir that just dropped. Cause boy, there are some whoppers in that sucker. She's not pulling any punches. So I'm gonna give you a little highlight reel. We might get Joel and Danielle in here and in the C block, but there's tons more to come on the Maggie Dawn Show. And do not forget, everybody, on Monday, I'm going to be joined by Princeton professor of sociology, Catherine Eden. We're going to talk about what universal vouchers actually are and what they are doing to return our public schools to segregated school systems. Keep it locked, everybody, and join our conversation. Text or call 844-967-2789. We'll be back with more after these important messages.
Your home of the
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A leadership race is underway in the Wisconsin State Senate. Democratic Minority Leader Melissa Agard is leaving the legislature to run for Dane County Executive. Senators Jeff Smith and Diane Hesselbein tell Up North News they plan to run for the post. The Journal Sentinel reports Senator Kelda Royce is